The following is a class given by His Holiness Jayapataka Swami on August 13, 1987 in Bangkok, Thailand. The class begins with a reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 2nd Canto, Chapter 2, Text 17.
Para Prabhu Kuto Nudeva Jagatanya Ishire Nayatra Satwangana Rajastamascha Navaivikaro Namahan Pradhanam.
Translation: in that transcendental state of Labdho Pasanti, there is no supremacy of devastating time which controls even the celestial demigods, who are empowered to rule over mundane creatures. And what to speak of the demigods themselves? Nor is there the mode of material goodness, nor passion, nor ignorance, nor even the false ego, nor the material causal ocean, nor the material nature. Purport by Prabhupada. The devastating time which controls even the celestial demigods by its manifestations of past, present, and future, does not act on the transcendental plane. The influence of time is exhibited by the symptoms of birth, death, old age, and disease, and these four principles of material conditions are present everywhere in any part of the material cosmos up to the planet of Brahmaloka, where the duration of life of the inhabitants appears to us to be fabulous. Insurmountable time even brings about the death of Brahma. So what to speak of other demigods like Indra, Chandra, Surya, Vayu, and Varuna? The astronomical influence directed by the different demigods over mundane creatures is also conspicuous by its absence. In material existence, the living entities are afraid of satanic influence. But for a devotee on the transcendental plane, there is no such fear at all. The living entities change their material bodies in different shapes and forms under the influence of the different modes of material nature. But in the transcendental state, the devotee is guna-tita, or above the material modes of goodness, passion, and ignorance. Thus the false ego of "I am the Lord of all I survey" does not arise there. In the material world, the false ego of the living being, trying to lord it over the material nature, is something like the moths flying in a blazing fire. The moth is captivated by the glaring beauty of the fire, and when he comes to enjoy it, the blazing fire consumes him. In the transcendental state, the living being is pure in his consciousness, and as such he has no fault. The Prabhupada explains the difference between Vaikuntha and Brahmajyoti, that Vaikuntha is Satchit Ananda, while Brahmajyoti is only Sat or Satchit. In Bhagavad Gita, there's Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, Bhakti Yoga mentioned, but only Bhakti Yoga can take one to the spiritual Vaikuntha planets. The other two yogas can take one to the Brahmajyoti, but they're not able to take you to the Vaikuntha Loka. Now in this verse, it's explaining about a yogi who has realized the transcendental platform. Said he is Labdho Pasanti. In that transcendental state, they get the supreme peacefulness. Their time has no supremacy. The three modes don't exist. Nor false ego. Nor the nirvana, the material nirvana. It's totally in the transcendental platform. It's a very technical verse. But this actually explains the difference between the realization of ordinary nirvana and the higher state of Krishna consciousness. In the nirvana, one is still within the material energy, something like in the causal ocean. And eventually one could fall down from that situation and come back again. But here, someone who has a transcendental realization, they are above the rule of time. The description here of how the transcendentalist is above time, above material nature, above the three modes, this is very important. This shows how the devotee is transcendental. It's important to know the difference between material destruction of one's material situation and actual positive spiritual realization. There is a spiritual world. There is a Supreme Person. This is a good verse to refer to if somebody needs to know what is the difference between nirvana and spiritual realization. Many people don't have a concept of anything beyond neutralization of our material situation. But the Bhagavatam very clearly states, in the material world, everyone is under the control of time. We are certainly under the control of time. Even great demigods like Brahma are under the control of time. In the spiritual world, time does not pass. There it is eternally present. And the material world, the holy dham in the material world is something like a resort area for Krishna to come and visit, to deliver the fallen souls of the universe. Brahma Jyoti is also impersonal. That has a direct connection with Krishna. The other form of connecting with Krishna through devotional service. We don't actually know what is the present in this material world. Because we see what is nearest to the past, nearest to the present. Whenever we see something with our material eyes, we're seeing the reflection of light. Actually, that thing is already in the past. When we actually are in the spiritual realization, there's no separation of time and space. So this way, here in the material world, there's past, there's present, so-called present, and the future. And everyone has got a built-in finishing date. But in the spiritual world, since everyone is eternal, there's no limitations. So to be able to achieve this shelter of Krishna and this highest realization is considered to be the greatest benediction. Now one can easily achieve that by regular practice of Krishna consciousness and by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. Any questions? It's temporary. A cloud is not an illusion, but it's neither a permanent thing. A cloud may take a shape in the sky of an elephant or a tiger, and you see it, and you say, oh, that's nice. But after some time, again, the shape will change. So a cloud is temporary, it's transient, it's impermanent. But it's not exactly illusion. It does have its existence. Similarly, the material world exists. It mentions here, Saptam Raja Tama Mahan Pradhanam. The three modes, and it mentions the causal ocean and the material nature. It also mentions the false ego. So when the false ego is cut off, that is, and one identifies, then is going through the material unmanifested energy or the pradhan. It's a very peaceful state. There's no, the three modes of material nature are not agitating the pradhan. In the universe as they are. So the those who enter the nirvana, they enter into this unmanifested material nature. But when the universe is over, again, they're brought back in the body of Vishnu. And when he creates again they come out. They never actually get out of the material world. They get out of the material universes. They don't get out of the material world. They go to the unmanifested energy of the material world. Because they identify themselves with the body. And when they lose their false ego, but they don't gain their real ego. They don't gain their ego of being a devotee or being a spirit. Then they think, no, I don't exist. But eventually, because they do exist, that doesn't destroy the soul. So eventually, either they fall from there and come back in the material universes, or they get some spiritual education and they go up to the spiritual sky. This example was given like this. Sometimes they have a movie projector, you have the light in the film. The light goes into a lens, glass lens. It goes, and then the picture is normally upside down. Then it goes through the lens, and there's a little dot of light. The picture turns over, and when it comes on the screen, it's right side up. That the spiritual world is the basis, but compared to the material world, it's the opposite. Actually, we're upside down, and they're right side up. But from our vision, that means that they're upside down. So, from the spiritual, it comes to the point. Then it goes around. So that point is the... Just on either side of the point, the light becomes like a little white light. This side it's manifested, the other side it's manifested. But at the focal point, then it's just light. So on one side is the spiritual light, and on the other side is the material light. Then from there comes the material universe, other side is the spiritual world. So one side is the material nirvana, other side is the Brahman nirvana. I don't think so. Yeah, because they don't believe there's a soul. They believe the soul becomes dismantled. They don't believe in an eternal soul. The nihilistic, the ones that want to self-destruction, they take apart their false ego and they remain in that material, unmanifested energy.
Yeah.
If they knew there was a soul, they'd go the other side. That's why we want to educate. There is a soul. They say there's a soul, Atama, but they think the soul is also material. When the soul dismantles, then you're finished. The nihilistic. Of course, I don't know all of the groups, but what I normally read here in Thailand is that nihilism self-destruction is the goal. But that's considered a spiritual suicide. They want to commit permanent suicide to end all suffering. So this is a very negative idea. One will not want to do that unless he's totally frustrated. The way to get total frustration is to go for total enjoyment. Total enjoyment brings total frustration. Because there's no satisfaction in the material world. And the material world, if we try to enjoy unlimited, we get entangled in such a way we suffer unlimited. This is the nature of the mode of passion. Passion looks enjoyable in the beginning and it creates suffering in the end. Goodness is a little suffering in the beginning, but it's happiness in the end. So more frustration comes from passion. Actually, the solution is people should know that there is a spiritual soul, there's a spiritual world. That there is a spiritual happiness, you don't have to commit spiritual suicide and stop to exist. Actually, no one stops to exist. But their false ego can be destroyed, can be dismantled in the pradhan. They fall from there, then they start all over. But they may come as a Lord Brahma or some very, because when they come from there, they'll be very pure. There'll be no sin. They worked off their sin, they went into that pradhan, but they didn't go to the Brahmajyoti. Or they may remain in some levels, I don't know. There's not so much discussion about in the Bhagavatam about the level before the Brahmajyoti. The level is mentioned, but there hasn't been a lot of discussion on this. So maybe in other Puranas it's described more. Or maybe Buddha has described more. Brahmajyoti. He goes there, he's also like a type of suicide, although he has a soul, but he feels his soul is merging with the total spiritual energy. Or he thinks he's become that energy. It's a very subtle difference between the Brahmajyoti and the non-Brahman Jyoti. The Nirvana Jyoti, the Nirvana energy. Both describe it as light. Seeing the light. Eventually. Either up or down. It's unnatural to remain in that state. Always. By nature we're active. Because by nature we're active, we can remain inactive for a certain time. Eventually we'll again want to act. We'll fall down. Or we'll know how to do spiritual action, we can go up to the spiritual planet. Someone may say that, impersonalists, they say that Krishna, his action, therefore it's material. He has a form, therefore it's material. Form action is material. Here it explains, in the material world, the form and action is all under the time factor. Therefore everything has a past, present and a future. So everything is a beginning and an end. But the time factor does not exist in the spiritual world. There everything is perpetually existing eternally. To create the material world, Krishna has created an energy known as time. Time does not exist as we know it in the spiritual world. Things go on there. There's not that this is the beginning, everything always existed. But to create a material world from that eternal time, he takes out an area and he said, now you're beginning and it goes for some time, and then it ends, and goes back. So from the eternal time, the world comes out temporarily, and again comes back in. So in this world, the time factor is all pervasive. Everyone is under the control of time. The time is actually what limits us. Other things also limit. The three modes, the false ego, but over everything is the time. In the spiritual world, there is no time. There's eternal time. There's not this temporary time. Because in the material world, people see through the bodies. They have material senses. But in the spiritual world, there's no material body. The soul has its own form. That form is it's in a type of flux where there's no separation of time and space. Although there are individual forms, it's not totally conceivable to us how this is possible. We can conceptualize. We cannot actually realize it with this mind. But this mind is material. We can only conceptualize what it would be like, or we couldn't exactly understand, but how that such a thing can exist, we can understand. That where there's no separation of time and space, there's immediate connection between everything. The soul is directly perceiving, but has a form in order to be able to act. So there's no suffering, there's no birth, there's no death. But in the material world, that soul form becomes dormant and put back in a spark form, seed. And in that, it's in the body, this is a small seed. So when that's like a little star, little light. So in the body is going through these changes. It's feeling, it's going to be destroyed. So one feels the pain of death, the pain of old age, of disease, again rebirth. But this pain do not exist in the spiritual world. So we want to get rid of the body. We don't real, but as Prabhupada said here in the purport, that the impersonalist, because of his neglecting the association of the Lord, does not develop a spiritual body for spiritual activity. In other words, the soul doesn't develop into a form. The soul stays as a formless spark. His body remains a spiritual spark only, merged in the effulgent spiritual rays of the Supreme Personality of God. That's where the Jnana Yogis go. Hare Krishna.